Monday we spoke, we explained what if a person, he's going to have a battle with the Yetzer Hara his whole life. He's simply going to, you know, every day, day in, day out, he's going to have Machshava Zoras, foreign thoughts and davening. After davening, he's going to want to do this and that. And he's not going to be able to really see progress. And the Alter Rebbe said, well, you know something? That's not so terrible. That could be your mission in life. Certain people have a mission to be Torah giants, and certain people have a mission to fight the Yetzer Hara. If God gave you that mission, so what are you going to say? I want the mission of being a tzaddik. Well, you got this one. I tell this story often. I'm gonna tell it. Now, some of you may have heard it already, and I probably will tell it several other times throughout the year. But it's something which speaks a lot to me. So, if you've heard it already, bear with me. When I tell it to you again in a month or so, you'll bear with me. It goes like this. There was a rich man, and Friday afternoon, his wagon driver takes him to the mikveh. Meantime, the wagon driver, before he goes to the mikveh and washes himself for Shabbos, he has to take care of the horses. He's going to the inn. As he's passing, he sees the landowner's policeman dragging a Jewish family down the street and changed. And immediately he gets up, knocks down one of the policemen, and starts to grab the other. The head of the group there says, listen, you want to fight, we outnumber you. You're strong. You can inflict a certain amount of pain on us. But we outnumber you, and we've sent somebody running back to get reinforcements. You're not going to win. Realize that. What happened here? These people didn't pay their rent. Now, you know what happens in this country. If you don't pay your rent, you get thrown in a dungeon until you pay your rent. Now, you have money, pay the rent. You don't have any money, don't fight, because you'll just hurt yourself and hurt some of us, and it's going to be futile anyway, so you don't do it. And the wagon driver, you know, takes one look at the situation and realizes that that's right. You know, he sees the group of other guys coming down the road from the landowner's mansion. He's not going to prevail. And he puts his hands up to God and says, God, if it was a matter of physical force, I'd do anything. But this is a matter of money. And I don't have money. Couldn't do anything. And he goes back, puts his horses in to prepare for Shabbos. Meantime, his employer, the rich man, comes out of the mikveh, goes down another street, and he sees a wagon driver, not his wagon driver, another wagon driver, whose wagon is stuck in some heavy mud, almost, not quite quicksand, but, you know, pretty heavy mud. He can't get his wagon out of the mud, and it's almost Shabbos. And what's he going to do? And the driver was saying, please help me, please help me. Of course, you know, help a Yid. You know, is there a question about it? He has Avos Yisrael, definitely help a Jew. But he's kind of rich and pampered and not very strong. And so, you know, he puts his shoulder to the wagon. And he slips and he falls and he gets all muddy and dirty. But he's just not strong enough to do anything. And he puts his hands up to heaven and says, God, it's a matter of money. I can do anything. I got the money. This is a matter of physical strength. And I just don't have any physical strength. Now, the Alter Rebbe told that story to illustrate the wonders of divine providence. Like, why didn't God send the rich man when they needed the money, and the strong man when they needed the strength? Divine providence, God has his ways. We don't understand it, he does. That's the Alter Rebbe uses the story. The Rebbe would use that story to teach us how every person has to be very careful doing his own mission. Each one of us has a Hashgacha Pratis designated for him. The Rosh Yeshiva shouldn't try to become a Gvir. That's not his mission. He's got a Yitzhakah. But his job is not to be the one who makes the millions of dollars. His job is to be Rosh Yeshiva, to teach Shir. The Gvir, of course, he's got to learn Torah. There's no question. But that is not his major mission in life. His major mission is to become the supporter of Torah, to give charity, to make sure that others can do it. And the same thing on all levels. If your mission is to fight if your particular issue is, I've got a Yetzer Hara, and it's bothering me, God looks down and, oh, this person day in, day out is conquering his Yetzer Hara. That's what I wanted from him. He's doing the job which I made for him. So that's exactly what I've been saying here. If a person shouldn't be sad on his lack of spiritual refinement, the fact that he's got to do whatever he can. You don't celebrate your lack of refinement either. I mean, you got to do what you can and to improve yourself. But if you're doing the best you can, and you see that still there are difficulties and struggles, and you're not overcoming, no problem. That's your mission. Be comfortable and happy with that mission. That same theme is a little bit, we continue in this present chapter. Vafilim nofim lo hirei taivas v'shar machshava zaras. Even if a person, to a person is falling thoughts of desire and other foreign thoughts, b'shas avod b'torah v'tfila, while he's in the middle of Torah study and prayer, b'kavana, while he's concentrating on davening with his kavana, al yashit leiv aleihem, he shouldn't focus his attention on them. Al yasich daito mehem kerega, he should rather turn his attention from them immediately. Begam al yeshote lasot palos hamidus shel machshav azara kanoda, and he shouldn't be a fool to involve himself in elevating the emotional quality that's present, that's motivating the Machshava Zora, as is well known. Kilo nemru dvorim ha'hem elo l'tzadikim. For matters of this nature were said only to the tzaddikim, she'ein noflin lehem machshavu zora shelehem kiim isha'acherim, because for them, there are no, they don't have their own machshavu zoras. If a tzaddik has a machshavu zora, that's from somebody else. What's he saying? If you look in Sforim from Mekubalim, Sforim from other Chassidim, not Chabad Chassidus, but from Ber Mayim Chaim has this frequently. It says there like this: if a person has, in the middle of davening, has a makshava zora from lust, he's thinking about a woman, he's got to realize that, oh, what lust is really positive emotional energy, love. And so what I've got to do is abstract the love which I'm feeling here and use that for love for God. There's a whole, you know, there are plenty of explanations on that. And they're all true for tzaddikim. What do I mean? But it's not, this is tzaddik. You know, he's a tzaddik. Where would he get a makshava, where would he get a thought from lust in the middle of davening from? It doesn't happen to a tzaddik by nature. It's wrong. You know, it's impossible. Oh! Well, a tzaddik is a collective soul. A tzaddik, he's like a nerve center. That makshava zorah isn't his. One of the people connected to him has an issue. And because of that person's issue, this makshava zorah, this foreign thought, is coming to the tzaddik. So the tzaddik can, oh, I can take care of that one. And he can think, oh, what is the motivating factor from this makshava zorah? It's love. Or it's fear, or it's this, or it's that. And I know how to use that emotion for Avodas Hashem. And when he does that, he actually frees that follower of his from the struggle and the difficulty that he's found in. That's the Polish Torah. It's a nice Torah. Could I do that? No. And should I try to do that? Absolutely not. It's the most... Give me a second. It's like so silly. Those are, but I have a makshava zara, I have a foreign thought. It's not a foreign thought, it's my own thought. For a tzaddik, it's like a strange thought. It's something from the outside, it's not his. Zara really means foreign, it's something strange, different, weird. Yeah. But for me, those aren't weird thoughts, those are where I am. I can't. The more I think about that, the more I'm going to get into it, and into it, and into it. And that's not very good for a person like me. And that's what the Alter Rebbe is saying here. If you're a tzaddik, you don't need this. You don't need the story here. But if you're a normal person and you see a machshava zara, sorry, I'm busy. Like the story we told last time. Like a knocking on the door. No answer. No answer. Yeah, answer.
So is a shepherd supposed to go around, or any chassid with this concept, goes around trying to have machshavas zaras in order that the Rebbe can elevate even more of the world, even more of...
I don't know. I don't think so.
Is that
the No. Most people don't have to try. They come kind of naturally. No, let's not make it sillier. You know, like, these are people with a derech and a Avodas Hashem. That's not a post. You know, our Rebbe also had plenty of, he took care of plenty of our machshavas zaras. And it's one of the things which tzaddik does, is he takes care of his people. But it's not something that we should do. That's what he says. Tzaddikim They don't get their own Makshava Zoras. They get Makshava Zoras to other people. Al Mish Nofel Mishalo. When somebody has strange thoughts that are really his own thoughts, Bechinas Arash Shebelibo Shebechalas Moli, from the evil which is in the left ventricle of his heart, Ech Yalel Lamaila. How is he going to lift that thought up above, refine it, and bring out its true spiritual nature? Who asks Makush Lamata? When he himself is tied down, not stuck with physical material desires. Then, so we just made it pretty depressing. I mean, if you think about it to a certain degree. I mean, like, does anybody like taking out the garbage? No, I mean, you do it. You like taking out the garbage?
Yeah, because it's clean.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, but it'd be nice if it was just plain clean without having to do it. So that's, But the other day, but that's what the other day says. I have a pichle. All you pull, you will be cured by those mizen is a eitz of nivza. You shouldn't be depressed inside, become sad, and scorn in your own eyes. B'shas avoda, in the middle of your avodas Hashem, in the middle of your divine service. Tzirich b'simcha rabba, because the avodas Hashem has to be with happiness. And this is a big, good trick of the Yetzer Hara. Like, you're in the middle of davening, and suddenly you have makshavas zoros, you have these foreign thoughts. And you're successful in pushing them away. Now, you're not going to think about your stocks or your friends or everything else in the middle of davening. You're successful in pushing the foreign thoughts away. But then you start to think, oh, look how terrible a person I am. I'm davening, I'm Torah, and what am I thinking about? Anything else but, and you get very depressed about that. Whose game is that?
Yitzhara.
Simple, straightforward. As we said before, I'm going to say it again later on. There's a time to make serious internal confrontation, introspection, measuring your conduct. How am I? What have I done? How am I living my life? There's a time to make those accounts. We're not irresponsible children. We're adults. We look at our behavior. But that time isn't the middle of the time you're supposed to be davening or learning. On the contrary, doing so is pure Yetzer Hara. It's stopping you from doing what you're supposed to be doing at this time, which is all what the Yetzer Hara wants to do. And it isn't even like a great Hasidic idea. It's just like practical logic. The Rebbe is very good about that one. It says, Avoda Tzirchus B'Simcha Rab, it has to be with great joy. El Adrab, on the contrary, Yischazik Yoser, he should become even stronger, V'Yosef Ometz, and he had strength, V'Kol Kocho, with all his power, V'Kavonas HaTvila, in the intent of Davin, B'Chedva, with happiness, V'Simcha Yoser, and great joy, B'Sumo Libo, by taking it to heart, Ki Nefilas Makshav Zora, Ki Meklipas B'Chal Asmol, Yosem Mechom Benim Nefesh Elokis. Knowing that the fact that a Yetzer Hara, this foreign thought comes from the klipa in his left ventricle, which is carrying out a battle with the godly soul. What's he saying? We'll see it later on. If two people are wrestling, and one of them is kind of lazy, the other one's also going to be kind of lazy. But if one of them is really putting up a strong fight, the other one is also going to put up a strong fight. Otherwise, he'll mop the floor with him. Same thing when a person is in the middle of davening. The Yetzer Hara is suddenly feeling, I'm challenged. This guy, he's dominating. He's learning. He's putting his effort. I'm challenged. I got to do something. A person shouldn't be depressed, the Alter Rebbe is saying, from the fact that he has a Makshav Zora. He should understand that, he's starting to do something right, and he should continue to do so. He shouldn't also be busy patting himself on the back either. That's, another trick of the Yetzer. But he should realize, as he says here, know the Derech Nechamim, it's a common thing about people who fight or people who wrestle with each other. When one person puts out his energy, the second also intensifies his power to overcome him with all the intensity of his strength. Therefore, when the godly soul puts energy and works hard to pray, so also the power of klipa fights against it, the balbala, to confuse it, lapilu makshava zoras, and to cause makshava zoras, cause these foreign thoughts to flow into its mind. Lo katosa olam shetoin lo achiach na makshava zora. And it's not like people who make a mistake and they say that because they have Yetzer Hara, that shows my davening isn't worth anything. That's not true. That's a mistake. If I was davening correctly, then I wouldn't have any Machshav Azores. So the Rebbe says, Emes hoya kidivrehem im hoya se nevesh achas levada. That would be true if we only had one soul. And that one soul was the same soul that was davening and thinking Makshav Azaras. In other words, if there was one person, we didn't have, as we do have, we didn't have a two-dimensional personality, then look, you don't have integrity. One moment you're dominating, one moment you're Yetzer Hara. Forget it. That's not right. But unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, the emes lamito hen shtei nefashos, and the chomo zuhum zuhum mochel shalodim. These are two souls. In truth, these are two souls fighting with each other in a person's mind. In other words, it's an important factor. A person could be very depressed. I've been here in yeshiva for so long, I still can't concentrate on my davening. In the middle of learning, I've got all these thoughts. Well, if this was one person, then you have a problem. But there's two souls. And the Yetzer Hara has one desire, and the Yetzer Tov, Nefesh HaPis, has another desire. He continues. Each one of them wants to rule and wants the mind to be filled with it alone. All thoughts of Torah and all thoughts of the fear of heaven come from the godly soul. And all matters of this world, and the Gashmi stick of things, come from the animal soul. It's only that the godliness is enclosed in it. In other words, Nefesh Bahamis by itself wouldn't have any vitality. nefesh bahamis, the animal soul gets its vitality from the nefesh elokis. It's kind of funny that way, but the nefesh elokis needs nefesh bahamis for its physical vitality. But in the greater picture, where does the animal soul, the Yetzer Hara, get its vitality from? From the godly soul. That's the nature of a Jew. So it's Hukamosho Hamaspao Kavona Omid Lenegdal Akum Rosha Masih Madabri Mokadela Babulo. It's like when a person is davening with concentration, and standing in front of him is a wicked goy who's talking to him and having conversation with him to confuse him. The counsel you give the person is not to argue with him, not to answer him at all. And he should make himself as if he's dumb. He's deaf. He doesn't hear. Don't answer a fool in his foolishness, lest you become equal to him. Again, it's one of the real issues that people have. When you go face to face combat with the Yetzer Hara, that's a battle. Now, what's going to happen in that battle? You're going to be arguing back and forth. You don't want this, you do want it, and two things happen. First of all, like we said before, you're not going to be doing what you're supposed to be doing at this time. You're supposed to be davening, not talking to Yetzer Hara. And besides for that, your whole mind is going to be stuck on a lower plane of thought. What are you telling him? This is garbage. And you have to explain why it's garbage. Meantime, you're living in the garbage. Get out of there. It's one of the explanations of different chassidus and other ways of thought. Now, like in the religious community, you see all over what a terrible thing Lashon Hara is. And, you know, it's pretty bad. I mean, let's not, you know. But in Chassidus, there's very little talk about how terrible it is to speak Lashon Hara, how horrible it is. Well, in other walks of Jewish life, you know, they spend a long time telling you, don't do it because it's bad socially, it's bad psychologically, it's bad spiritually, it's bad, it's bad, it's bad, it's bad. And it is. But what's the problem? Two things. First of all, when you tell somebody something's bad, you can't do it, that doesn't stop you from wanting to do it. But besides the fact, you just spent a whole bunch of time thinking about these low kind of things. You know, Sita says, think about something higher. Focus on your neshama. Focus on what Torah is. You won't want to speak Yetzer Hara. You won't want to speak Lashon Hara. Why should I? I'm not going to gossip with you. I've got Torah to study. I'm going to gossip with you. I have a neshama that's holy. I've got mitzvahs to do. When you see a higher realm, you don't get stuck in the dirty work. As opposed to if you get stuck in the nitty gritty, you're on that level. He says, as we said, it says, don't answer a fool, because you'll become equal with him. Like, you ever argue with a fool? You sound pretty. You end up sounding pretty stupid, because he's pretty stupid. You got to talk to him at his level, and then it all gets, you know, circular. A very simple thing. Where it says also, if you wrestle with a dirty person, you're going to get dirty. He's dirty. You're wrestling. His dirt is going to go on you. So, as we said, yes, there is a time and a place for introspection. And in the next couple of chapters, I'm going to start to focus on that. But it's definitely not the middle of davening and learning. Because at those times, on the contrary, this is not a time to focus on the Yetzer Hara. It's time to focus on the davening, focus on the learning. And you don't want on that whole level of contact with the Yetzer Hara. Al yashiv lo muma mishum tayin neged makshava zora. Don't answer anything, or any kind of argument with the thought. Because somebody who fights with a dirty person becomes dirty. You should make yourself as if you don't know and don't hear all these thoughts which fall. Yisir midaito, and take them away from your attention entirely. Again, taking away from your attention entirely means simply focusing on something else. Because, you know, if it's, I don't want to take that thought, then you're not going to, that's arguing with the Yetzer Hara. I'm not going to listen to you. No, but that's silly. What it means is, focus your mind on other things. I see it all the time. I mean, you're busy, something happens, and this, and you get a telephone call from a friend, and you're, wherever you were before, you're right now talking to your friend, and that's most important to you. How about a telephone call from God? Now you're talking to God, and you're diving, and you're learning. That's what you're involved with. And you can, and just like you know, in the phone call, you're oblivious to where you were just a moment ago. Same way, well, yes, sir, you just turn your mind. I've got a call from God. This is what I'm into right now. Not arguing back and forth, focusing your attention. And if it's hard for a person to remove them from his mind, from his attention, because they're bothering him a lot, as yashpil nafsho l'Hashem, he should lower his soul towards God, yischanin lo yisbrach makshavto, and supplicate to God with your thought, l'racham elov, that he should be merciful to him, v'racham avam lubim, with his abundant mercies, k'racham av abonim, like a father who's merciful to his sons, hanushachim imocho, who are drawn from his mind. And so too, God will have mercy on his soul to save him from these turbulent waters. L'mamo yasa, and God will be acting for his own sake, hichere kavaya mamash amo, because a portion of God are his nation. What did the Alter Rebbe just say? What happened? You know, I'm not going to listen to the Yetzer Hara. And I'm going to try to daven. But it's not working. I'm still getting those thoughts over and over and over again. You pray to God to be able to pray to Him. pray to God to be able to pray. He says in thought, because sometimes you're not allowed to speak in the middle of prayer. But you're praying to pray. And it's a very humble prayer. He says, Yashvatz Moshe, lower yourself. It's a very humble prayer, because after all, I can't control myself. That's not a very pleasant thing to say. But sometimes we will have to do that. But that admission is often the first step to yes, control myself. I mean, it's also, I said step, it's actually, you know, if anybody's ever done 12 steps, you know, in alcoholism, or 12 steps in any other thing, it's the first of the 12 steps is to admit that I have, that I can't control. Because in that humility of admitting that I can't control, you open yourself up to something much, much higher. God wants to help every Jewish soul. Because, as he says, Chelek Hashem Amo, a part of God is his nation. He's not, that's who, he's helping himself. L'mama Yaseh, he's doing it for his own sake. But the person has got to make himself a keli, make himself a medium, open himself up to that divine energy. And this humble prayer of God, I cannot control myself, please help me, is a very important medium to allow it to happen. On the other hand, you know, like, I can really want to know if we've got a woods outside of us. And, you know, we hear people in the woods, Tata, God, Father in heaven, help me! And I don't want you to get, you know, like, no, we don't. This isn't what I'm talking about. That kind of, you know, exhibitionist spirituality, even in private. No. We're talking about a very humble private prayer. Quiet. A person turning inside, not... No outside emotions. When there's outside emotions, that's a sign that there aren't, that the inside emotions are lacking. You know, you do it all, you're showing it, inside emotion. Focus the energy inward. But that sense that, oh, sometimes I just need help. I can't do it by myself. And the ability to call out for help and to know that you have a father who will listen is a fundamental element in making prayer successful. That covers that basic issue. The next three prokim, 29, 30, and 31, start to focus on those times of confrontation. When you actually face the Yetzer Hara and you want to be able to win. Simply to put the Yetzer Hara in its place. How to do that? We've got three chapters, they're longer chapters. And there's some, like up to now, it's been pretty much boom, boom, boom ideas. These are longer chapters with, you know, the three chapters are 10 pages. Right? We did three chapters with six pages. And it's a big, you know, it's a little longer. It's a different, it's a little bit of a different flow. But it's important lessons, fundamental ones.